Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Browns are no closer to winning, but in a weird way, the finality of the Deshaun injury does take some of the bite and some of the angst out of this season at the very least, even if there are bigger conversations to be had down the line.
It makes the season interesting in a way, but I don't know that we wanted to get it this interesting this quick. I wanted to see what Deshaun could do. I'm a little bummed at the idea that now it's just, that's it. That's the conclusion, Nick. Like, there's no light bulb moment where all of a sudden things start to click. That's just gone. It's erased, and we just now have what I do believe is a finality to this all.
So,
which is just, I just haven't really kind of fully comprehended that yet.
Yeah,
I doesn't feel real almost.
This season was about having a definitive answer, and even though he only played 7 games this year, the answer's there.
We got it.
And it's three years, and this is where we are.
I don't know. Did you wake up it was so different to me taking it all in relative to last year when we found out about the injury and then that he was going to be out for the season? Because you knew last year that there was going to be a third season, there was going to be more to this, and he was going to have a chance to go ahead and either prove the doubters wrong or go ahead and do what ended up happening this year. I haven't made peace with it entirely yet. I am living with the idea that he's just going to come out there next week and play football again, but it's not happening. He's gone, and that's that.
Yeah, and I think in a way, because it's not just the injury, right? It's the injury plus the reaction from the crowd. And then that becomes the conversation about the players and about... So in a way, I tried to say this in the beginning of the show, like for so long I've been trying to logic an emotional problem. And at some point, all the lack of payoff on all, whether it's the moral quagmire of trading for a guy of what Deshaun was... accused of and suspended for and sued for and all that. Mm-hmm. Or whether it's just the emotional quagmire of you moved on from Baker for this. And then the idea that the Browns do need, an adult in the room. Yeah, but it has nothing to do with the quarterback position. They need an adult in the room that's higher above, maybe in the offices of this brand new building they're going to be building
in
Brook Park.
It's the highest I've ever seen you stretch, by the way. Yeah. Just reaching to the top there.
I felt like I was about to ask you to acknowledge me, like I was Roman Reigns here. It was so funny because as I watched all of this play out, I do think today, and what I needed today was finally just let the emotion go. Because we just, as you have said, we've just been holding on. Maybe this week. And from the Browns standpoint, like, you've got two options. Earlier in the season, you either pulled a plug on Deshaun, and at which point, who knows if you can ever go back to that in the name of winning, or you continue to trot him out there. And the people left hanging in the balance were the fans.
This let them off the hook from that respect, though. They never had to make that hard decision. They never had to do it. The injury really kind of, it got Stefanski and Haslam off the hook from that perspective.
So it got them off that hook and put them on another hook. Because now the calculus or what, all this decision-making does change. And I'll be honest with you, I think Kevin Stefanski, as much as it drove him crazy, I don't know if he'll be honest on this, but I think Kevin is a lot... Kevin's very is a pragmatist. And if you look at how some things have gone and how long maybe he kept Joe Woods and maybe could have salvaged that defense... In 2022, I remember my years
they all
here
run together.
Of this crap
the
show.
The 2020s, they
but
all
maybe
run
in 2022, if you fire him halfway through the season, maybe that fixes the defense. But Kevin didn't play that card because it made more sense career-wise to wait till that offseason.
Sure.
I think Kevin has been incredibly shrewd with how he's handled, and not just Kevin, but Andrew too, in when they've dispatched their fall guys for things. And I think that's all, and this is my big picture thing. I think it's all because in service of trying to keep Jimmy at bay and the Haslams at bay. And just trying to give yourself every chance. We got to make it to next year. We got to make it to here. And maybe that's a cynical way of looking at it. But I do think, like, I think playing Deshaun, if it was Kevin's decision, we can haggle over that till the end of time. If it was, the reason you do it is it wasn't entirely your choice to bring him here. And every bit of failure you can put on Deshaun means you can absolve yourself from failure. 10 games to go, that's more than enough rope to hang yourself with if you're Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, if you're Stefanski, you got to be looking at that. All the goodwill you built up with the idea that you can coach anybody, it now gets shoved right back in your face. You got to show that you can coach anybody now.
But I do think, from a multitude of reasons, yesterday felt like the last moment we're going to see Deshaun play meaningful football for
sure.
The Cleveland Browns.
And I think something that's important to note is that even if he had been all right at quarterback, not just one of the worst quarterbacks we've seen in the NFL over the previous 3 years, if he'd been all right, you can't possibly trot that guy out again next year because of the injuries.
Yeah.
You have the shoulder injury, and now you have the Achilles injury. He's had injuries in Houston. He had injuries in college. His body has failed him. Now, he wasn't very good, but put that aside, his body failed him even to the point where if he was good, Nick, I don't know that they could even throw him out there for year four anyway.
Yeah, and
you can't bank on him. You can't rely on him.
And here's the other part, and this is where the emotions of the feeling how it must feel to be cheered when you get injured. That was effectively the end of Tim Couch's time in Cleveland, even though it took a little while to play out.
Yeah, we saw those videos yesterday.
But there's a part of me that wonders, if you're Deshaun, there's no way you can feel comfortable coming back here. There's just not...
Because of the booze?
Because of all of it.
Okay, yeah,
Yesterday was the summation of it. Yesterday was the finality of it. But in what probably felt like the culmination of your worst moment, which is everything that's happened in 3 years in Cleveland, all the off-the-field stuff, all the on-the-field stuff, and now this. Your worst moment, your lowest.
Yes, crying on the field. It was as bad as it got for him.
Well, but not just crying on the field, but knowing that people were happy for that.
Right.
I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle if you're Deshaun.
Well, you can only mute and block so many Twitter accounts before reality hits you in the face. And what we kind of enjoyed in many respects about what happens on game days is that you can't hide. You're the man in the arena at that point. You can only surround yourself with so many yes men and so many people that'll tell you that you're great. One thing about athletes, when you get in that arena, they'll tell you if they like you or don't like you. And they were telling him flat out, we don't like you.
Well, and I think... Because here's the thing. I think the one thing I've seen is Deshaun has not gained perspective, in my opinion, on his struggles and what led to his struggles. And I'm talking holistically here.
Sure, sure.
On and off the field. At no point did Deshaun ever espouse the ability to say, here is my role in it. He was always reacting to what the world was telling him, which again speaks to the idea that Deshaun thinks he didn't do anything wrong.
Right. He's always maintained that. Yeah.
And so, and again, this is not speaking to the legalese of anything. But the problem with that is, or not the problem with that is, that I guarantee you Deshaun already had a certain amount of hard feelings. I wonder if now Deshaun might be willing to say, hey, how can I help us in this situation? I don't know, going into this year, Deshaun was ready to say, what if I eat $10 million just to go away?
Oh, so you really think he'd be in that spot where he would even take money just to say, let me go to the island. Listen, I know my NFL career is done. Let me go to the island and let me just disappear from everyone, essentially?
Well, no, let me disappear from Cleveland. I don't know. I can't imagine feeling the way, if he really, truly cannot see any of his own... Do you think
he fights for his NFL career? Because I'm kind of interested in that. Because as bad as it's been for us, he never gave us any indication that he thought he stunk at this.
Yeah, because I think that's another thing of... I think he knows staying here for another year on a Houston situation. Inactive, not playing, rehabbing. But realistically, you're probably not going to be ready to play till next year?
I don't know what team would ever take a chance on him, even if the money was they paid basically nothing and the Browns paid everything.
I don't think it's...
I think that's gone, right?
I think somebody would take a chance on you, but I don't... Not as a starter. It's going to have to be... He's going to have to go somewhere... And he's going to have to earn his way back into it.
The role of Jameis that Jameis just played for us, basically?
I don't even know it's that. I mean, camp fodder.
I don't know that any team would actually do it.
I think
it's not blackballed by the NFL. It's just you stink now and we don't want to see you anymore.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think it's whether it's next year or the year beyond that. I don't think there'll be a shortage of teams. it's just going to take one team to work him out and be intrigued because there's such a shortage of quarterbacks. When you take the contract away from it and you turn him into a low-risk flyer, for vet men, all of a sudden that becomes more palatable. And if it doesn't work out, you can discreetly get rid of him without any fanfare, any criticism.
Okay, but he comes with as much baggage as anybody can come with, as we've obviously all well are aware of. And
the
then
contract's the baggage.
Well, allegations and everything are the baggage.
Yeah, but you and I both know how quickly NFL teams move on from that kind of baggage. How quickly they are to overlook that.
I just don't know that you can do it with Deshaun right now in this instance. Even 2 years from now, 3 years from now, where a lot of people then forget about these things, they move away from these things. I just don't know that you can't, because it's always about, is the juice worth the squeeze, right? And for any NFL team, you're not rolling the dice on somebody to be a backup quarterback that comes with all that type of baggage.
I think the baggage, the perception on baggage is the contract. And I really think that matters more to NFL teams. I'm not trying to be cynical, because I'm just trying to be realistic in how teams view this. And I think guys get second chances all the time, whether they earn it or not. I can see Deshaun's camp thinking, we're going to take a little haircut here. He's already got more than enough money. We're going to take a little haircut just to get out of Cleveland. And whether that's facilitating a trade or whether that's, hey.
Yeah, because he wants to still play. It's not going to happen here.
Yeah. Well, as long as he's under contract with the Browns and on some sort of roster of the Cleveland Browns, there is a hypothetical chance. And I think what's interesting is, if you had asked me before yesterday, I think that probably was most untenable to the Browns. I think yesterday changed. There's no way that if I'm Deshaun, in my head, I can accept the idea of putting on this uniform and going out in front of those fans again. And again, I'm not clearing Deshaun here.
No, I get it.
But like, I don't know if you already felt like the way Jameis talked about it, the world's against him. If you already felt that way before that injury, while whether it's one person or 1,000 people cheered you getting hurt on Sunday, or however you want to frame, because we've already framed this 17 different ways, I have no idea how, if you are Deshaun, even for $100 million next year, I don't know how you do it. I just don't.
Well, yeah, in his mind, 1,000-plus people spat on his face. Like, in his mind, that was he's at his lowest point. He's crying on the field, and then people are – I mean, that's what they were doing. And that's fine. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you anything that was wrong or anything like that. You make your own decisions in life. I just look at it like Nick, I'm not scared if he goes to another team, for instance, that it's all of a sudden going to be a Baker Mayfield situation, and we're looking there on Sundays and being like, wow – He had a 50-point game, and he threw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. And I think because of that, I think the Browns would feel like, if Deshaun wants out and he's going to take a haircut to do it, let him go. Because like, the only way this ends bad, like, for instance, what happened last night with Russell Wilson, that was awful for Sean Payton. That was awful for Broncos fans. That is a twisting of the knife type moment. You let him go because you told him he stunk and wasn't good anymore, and then he was awesome and winning big primetime games and looking much better than Aaron Rodgers in the process. I'm not worried about that happening with Deshaun. Deshaun goes to another team, it's not going to be any good. Wasn't any good here.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's good. It doesn't. It has not worked out. Like, at some point,
we keep tabs on whether or not people are good in other spots around here.
Well, my point is, but here's the thing.
Amari scored a touchdown yesterday. Kareem Hunt scored a touchdown yesterday. We keep tabs on this
stuff. But it's funny. We keep tabs on it. I don't hear anyone calling for Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry to get fired because of how good Baker looks in Tampa Bay. I'll just be honest with you. That is the most fireable thing these jackasses have ever done. I'm pissed about it, man. I'm sick of watching Baker Mayfield play really well.
We will use that against them, will we not?
Well, yeah.
I will.
But my point is...
For sure I will.
The owner's part of that, too. The whole thing. Like, this dude is out there. And listen, I don't know that Baker is any closer to winning a Super Bowl now than he was in Cleveland. But you know what you didn't do? The second you could cut bait on him, you did. And you did so to do this.
Right.
And so, but yet, I hear fans mad about it, but it's almost like, well, that just goes straight to ownership. Well, no. Kevin Stefanski was part of this dynamic in 2021. Andrew Berry was part. And the whole point on why it was easy to move off of Baker, the whole point was, well, he's not going to be good enough and we didn't draft him. And the whole point is, well, we got more out of him than anyone else did. 1.5 years in Tampa, two different offensive coordinators. Those two Baker Mayfields are better than the best Baker Mayfield you had here.
Right, but you see why fans do this stuff, though. You see why they keep tabs. They keep tabs because they want to be able to throw it back in their face and say, wait, dude, they're getting something out of this guy that you weren't able to get out of. Like, that's a thing. I'm just not worried about that being part of the Deshaun Watson story.
I'm not worried either. But if it happens, it was never going to happen here. That's what yesterday proved. That's what the last 3 years have proved.
But that's a Stefanski and Barry problem. If they couldn't make that work. If he actually goes somewhere else and is awesome, that is a big indictment on them.
It's a all of it's a problem. Ownership's a problem. Leadership's a problem. Andrew and Kevin are problems. And this isn't new, by the way. Like, if you want to know, they walked into a gold mine. They walked into a roster that was almost complete.
Yeah, ready to win.
And listen, they've had some success. Let's not shortchange that or do the thing we do in Cleveland Sports Talk where we minimize the success. But compared to where you thought they were 4 years ago, or now 4.5 years ago, to where they are now, they were a quarterback away. And now, I mean, we had Nathan on earlier today. He agrees with where I'm at, where I think you are at, where they're more than a quarterback away.
Well, you went backwards.
Yeah, you went backwards.
Went
three steps backwards. And that comes back to drafting. That comes back to philosophy. That comes back to leadership. And I'm just, I'm just so sick of this idea of, well, you know, they have had some success. Because I logic the hell out of it, too. Like, well, those 4 years are better than the 4 years before it. And those 4 years are the best 4 years we've had since. But then the reality is, 4 years ago, if I said you're going to have one playoff win, two playoff appearances, and a sub-500 record across 4 years, we would have said you're crazy. You're mad. Impossible. Was Baker never healthy? Oh, no, you traded for a guy with all this kind of stuff, and it brought a pox upon the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, I got to say, the best thing about yesterday, and there's not a lot good. I know we feel free of the obligation of Deshaun. There's not a lot of good from yesterday. Because it was just a swift kick in the pants.
It was the low point.
But let's just be able, we finally can just say it. Like, all of you are now under watch. All of you are under evaluation. And so let's put the Baker stuff back on the table. Why is he this good here? And you ran him off the first second you could. And by the way, he didn't get $60 million a year or whatever we were afraid he was going to get in 2020.
Got 3 years for $100 million.
Like, okay, why'd that happen? Because if you absolve the Browns from that, then this is exactly how the Browns have gotten here. It's always somebody else. It's the same thing with Deshaun. It's always somebody else. It's not Deshaun's fault. It's not Kevin Stefanski's fault. It's not Andrew Berry's fault. It's not the process's fault. It's not DePodesta. It's not Jimmy Haslam. And all of them together are why this thing is 1-6. Do you realize how colossally stupid and vapid and lack of leadership and everything else you have to get to be 1-6 with this team? Like, how bad you had to have screwed this thing up from where it started and where you are now. Everything's on the table. And there's something freeing about that. But by the way, the same people that are supposed to fix this thing.
Something a little scary about this, Nick.
Are the same damn people that broke the damn thing in the first place. And that is where you are.
The hope is that they try to find a way to actually figure out who needs to stay and who needs to not stay, and that's what the next 10 games is. And if they find out that Stefanski's not there and Barry's not there and DePodesta isn't there, based off of what you just said, I don't feel like that would keep you up at night in the slightest bit.
216-474-0092. I blacked out again. Was that the last you're going to see of Deshaun in a Browns uniform? I'm curious if there's anybody who thinks that we could see him again. That's next, and of course, Cheerbirds from Sunday, next on 92.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of traction on social media because they use potty words.
That's
and we care about those things.
Thank you for acknowledging why it went so viral.
2024. I actually think he's the one that I took. I really didn't have a problem with him saying it that way because that was about cheering the injury. That was about, like, specifically, it didn't invoke hell of a teammate.
Yeah.
He didn't invoke any sort of imagery that felt insincere to the actual conversation.
He didn't try like to make Miles us. Or, he didn't try to make us feel bad for not feeling bad about Deshaun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sure, you work on that.
Okay. I felt like Miles and Jameis were on some sort of attack to be like, you need to empathize and feel bad about the situation that Deshaun is in, and I'm gonna make you feel bad for it. And I never got there.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're speaking the same language.
We are. We're lockstep on this. I didn't love... There's a lot of people that made mistakes yesterday. And I when you can't root for injuries, I think that's also wrong. But I also thought the messaging by the Browns players was just as wrong in many respects.
It felt opportunistic. And I don't know what the opportunity was. Like, what's the payoff? Was it shielding the organization? Was it shielding the locker room? Like, because I don't think it was his... I think Greg is making a salient point, which is, hey... That thing. Anybody that cheered, and he was specific. He didn't cast aspersions across the fan base in general, which is another thing that I like. He was specific. If you cheered, that was bleep. That was perfect. Anything else that is like, hey, we don't do that. What's this wee bleep, Kemosabe?
Yeah. Like, why are we doing that?
Like, and I'll be honest with you, with Miles, it's not specific to anything. I just don't get Miles' angle on this because I think he's the leader of the defense, and I think there has been some defense versus the offense going on behind the scenes, whether it's been reported not or yet.
For sure. I looked at it more like you ever go to a funeral of a guy that maybe you don't think is the greatest, and everyone around there, because it's a funeral, everyone's like, oh, that guy's just awesome. Man, did I love him when. And you're like, this is a bunch of nonsense. You guys, all you did was talk about how much you hated this guy. Now, because it's his funeral, we're going to talk great about this guy. With Deshaun, it just kind of felt like in that moment, whether you liked him or didn't like him from a player perspective, they were out there trying to tell us that Deshaun was this great person because he went through this injury. And we should feel as if Deshaun was this great human and this great everything and great football player. And, oh, what a guy for putting his body on the line and all this stuff. And I just didn't buy into any of it, Nick.
Yeah, and you know, now that you're saying it, we've been trying to figure out, okay, what's missing here? Because if you watch it on Sunday and you try and watch this stuff play out, it just doesn't look like a professional organization. There are parts. I mean, I thought the defense played really well yesterday, just because we got to keep saying that.
One of their better games.
I thought Cedric Tillman had a great game and Njoku came to life. There were some positives in yesterday's game, but I do think whether it was Amari talking to media, let me put it on you, let's put the camera on your face, whether we've had some things here that it does feel like the players are frustrated with the fans. So when I mentioned the opportunistic thing, something did just click about whether certain guys, not Greg Newsom, again, I want to give him credit because I think he put in a very specific way that I think I can at least go, okay, what you were saying right there in that 25-second clip jives with a lot of things I actually think about cheering guys who are injured, all that. I wonder if guys like Miles viewed this, maybe they're frustrated with the fans, and this was a way to strike back at fans with kind of a general message, and it had less to do with Deshaun and more to do with that.
Kind of what it felt like.
In which I just... There is, then it becomes like a who do you think you are?
And that's how I took it yesterday. Okay. In many respects, I took it as a who do you think you are in this moment, trying to tell the fans what they can and cannot do, especially when Miles, a month ago, was the one saying fans paid for the tickets, you can do whatever the hell you want. But it's really not that. It's really more the idea. I personally got upset with the idea that they were trying to paint Deshaun Watson as some person I'm supposed to, in that moment, be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I feel so bad for this human. His career might have ended. I just, no, I'm not going to feel bad for him in that moment. I'm sorry, I'm not going to. I didn't feel bad in any part of that yesterday.
So it's interesting because you're kind of speaking to an ambivalence, which is don't cheer, don't boo. Just because, like, people have tried to put booing Deshaun at the start of the game in line with cheering Deshaun's injury. I don't see those the same thing either.
Mm-hmm.
No, they ran out of the tunnel. They're pissed about Deshaun. That's an opportunity to boo them.
Right.
So, like, it is interesting how they're just layers to any which way you kind of look at this, but yeah, I there's a leadership thing here, and you can point that back to Kevin, you can point that back to the coaches, you can point that back to the players. Something has fallen through the cracks in that locker room.
Well, and maybe this is, though, what Miles was talking about when the TV mentioned yesterday, the idea that he thought just playing through these injuries was enough. That was his way of showing, if I'm playing through these injuries, you should be playing hard, too. And then they said on the TV broadcast that he recognized he's got to be more vocal. Maybe he thought this was a way of being a leader. Like, I got to stick up for my guys in the locker room. I got to do this. I got to do that. But his message was just so wrong and just did not hit any of the right notes. And trying to paint Deshaun as some sort of awesome human.
Model citizen.
Not going to happen. It's not going to. We're not born yesterday. We're not going to hear that and think, oh, well, Miles is right. Great.
Daryl Ryder next, our Browns beat reporter. We're going to talk about Deshaun Watson, Browns quarterback going forward, the future with all those guys in the locker room and all those coaches and executives. Next on 92.3 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.